What's up, everybody? Happy opening day. Welcome back to Clocks Running, a podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm one of your hosts, Jacob.
And I'm the other host, I'm Ant.
What's up, man? What's going on? So I tried to bring in opening day. You know, I know opening day was a few days ago, but, you know, felt like everybody's still saying it, so just felt like I wanted to be a part of the group.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that there was a group announcing opening day. But.
Well, you know, it has a little something to do with this. This is a baseball.
Yeah.
So,
hey, I'm excited about the fact that the Yankees figured out a loophole on how to change the dimensions of a bat, and they're just hitting home runs left and right.
I have no idea what's going on with that. I've seen something about a bigger bat, and then I keep seeing memes get posted with Aaron Judge holding a ginormous glove. And I don't understand it. I haven't read about it. So, you know, let's go Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, the picture that I saw was basically like all the weight is pushed into one section of the bat. Mm-hmm. And like they had like one game, there was three pitches and three home runs.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, clearly it's working, you know. Yeah,
sounds like slow pitch softball.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of slow pitch softball, I don't know, this is not really gonna work, but let's get right into our first segment of the night. Jacob, what is it, man, and who we got tonight?
Hey, so you know, we really, really embrace the double D's doozies, and I wanna give a shout out to my guy Dean for, you know, he's really, really embraced this. Declan's kind of been slacking. Because Declan's been awesome. He's been taking over the world one high school baseball game at a time. But fortunately, the other half of the double D is here with us as the island boy.
Yep.
What's up, Dean?
Figured I'd take a few more Ys on the end of it. I think I need a couple more Ys.
We'll talk
what's
about
going
that
on, guys? Good to be back.
What's up, Dean? Like, at this point, you're setting records. I don't think we've had anybody on for a month straight. Like, this is crazy. 5 weeks? Know, right? 4 weeks?
It's 4 or 5. I think it's 4.
Yeah.
My name starts with a D, right? Double D, doozies.
What? Hey, yo.
What?
Hey, if you haven't been canceled by now, you won't get canceled. So, we're good.
Okay.
According to Cayman Islands, Dean, we're not getting canceled. We're all
good. Right. Cool. Hey, fair enough. Before you give us the doozy, Dean, I do need an update. Who's in first place in the Cayman Islands co-ed league?
So right now, there's two teams that are undefeated. It's Red Stripe are still at the top. They're 5-0, and then right behind them is Child Please at 4-0. They don't play until the very last game of regular season. So it's shaping up to be pretty good. Child Please have a very tough test this week. They play the Bird. So this week is actually, it's more of a rivalry week because all the games are slated to be good. All the games played this week are talent versus talent of where they are. So it's going to be a very busy week for me this week.
Nice. I want it to be heard here first, right here on Fox Running. Jacob, I am taking Red Stripe to win the whole thing. Who you got?
Well, I don't. What? Give me the origin of this Child Please name, please.
Okay, so it was back.
The fact you know this
so
is
child,
incredible.
No, well, I don't know the full origin of Child Please, but I do know that they are the most dominant force in co-ed. Because they've won. They're the only team to win 9 straight years in a row. 9 championships, 9 years in a row they won.
So those guys are getting old.
So just to clarify, that's 9 spring seasons or 9 seasons, like a spring and a fall?
No, 9 spring, so 9 spring seasons. So we only do COVID once a year, so it's nine COVID seasons that they won. And they're looking in shape and in form, ready to roll. It's the same players, obviously the same core players, and they're out with a vengeance, man. They're just putting up points every game. So it's gonna be a really, really intense. It's gonna be a really close finish for the Gold Cup.
Would you say that they're putting up more points than their opponent?
No. Of course.
Okay. All right. Well,
they haven't faced anyone challenging yet, like that challenging yet. So this will be their first real test this week.
Now we're knocking down our other teams in the league. That's cool. All right, guys, so for our listeners at home who haven't experienced our double D doozy yet, Dean's going to give us a story, something crazy that's happened to him on the field while he's been officiating. It can be last week he talked about how he got tased twice and still finished the game. The time before that, he got struck by lightning. Now, you have to go back to the other episodes and listen to Dean's doozies. But, Dean, let it rip, man. What you got for us this week?
All right. So, this is actually more recent. It was last year's final, co-ed championship. It was Red Stripe versus the Bird. Red Stripe were leading for – it was more of a back and forth. So, Red Stripe would score, Bird would score. Red Stripe would score, Bird would score. And Red Stripe were up by a point heading into the final drive, and Bird had the ball. So Bird were driving the field, and it got like that last drive got so heated. We had a player, one of my rush judge was marking the 7, and he kept complaining that the 7 yards was too big. So she was marking it, and then she must have, I had my back turned, but something happened, and all of a sudden this rusher just goes off on my ref. So he walks up to her and it's like, you're a F and B, you're a stupid, like, whore. Like, it was, like, going on. And so I'm like, flag right away. Like, there's no warning. So flag came out. And then he turns to me and he's like, you're a fat piece of shit. And I'm like, okay, so you're out. No more game for you. So this was on a game-winning, like a possible game-winning drive for the Bird with 40 seconds to go in the game. So he gets tossed. We mark 15 yards. I actually enforced both 15-yard penalties because of the nature of it. So I enforced both 15 yards. So this puts him on the edge of the 6-yard line. And then what happens is on the very next play, first and goal, the Bird gets an unsportsmanlike conduct. So they go back 15 yards now. So they're almost back to midfield again. And on the very next play, they throw deep, and the same guy that got the unsportsmanlike conduct got the touchdown. Like, in the corner, slid down, like, with the ball, barely made it inbounds, catches it, goes absolutely nuts. He throws the ball in the air. The ball actually hits the ceiling of the grandstand, like the bleachers, and comes back off. It's nuts. Everyone's going crazy.
Did you call and another it leaves a little bit there? Of
Nah, I let that one right.
So we let that fly. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We let that fly. Like it was.
Go ahead.
So and then it left some little bit of time for Red Stripe left, but from that moment, all the momentum went to the Bird, and the Bird ended up winning the co-ed championship off that play. It was crazy, that last sequence that you had those three unsportsmanlikes, and then it's just. It was the craziest game I've ever reffed, and I think that game brought back flag football to what it was in the cave. I was like, everyone, like, it was starting to decline, like, people weren't that interested, but now I think with that game, it brought all the hype back for flag football. And
what was
it was
the final score of that game?
So 6 points onto the 1-point lead. It was 27-21, something like that. Yeah.
27-21, pretty confident in that?
Yeah, pretty confident in that.
So there was 3 more points in that game than there were yards in that the unsportsmanlike conduct sequences you called there. That last drive.
Very much.
Okay.
But yeah. It was just a hell of a game, man, back and forth. And the funniest part about it was is that Red Stripe at half were up 14-0.
So they blew a 14 lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was last season, huh?
That was last season. So I'm so excited to see what this season holds.
Well, Dean, I want you to give yourself more credit, because I actually think you're the reason. And you are what has brought hype back into flag football in the Cayman Islands. All right, man? So give yourself
single-handedly.
Some credit.
You may have two hands, but you've done it with one of them. You didn't even need the second hand.
I know.
Use the other hand to throw unsportsmanlike.
And I'll use this one. I'll use this one to do it, and use this one to throw on unsportsmanlike. Got it. Two flags at once. I'm really looking forward to what this rest of the season holds, especially with us expanding the playoffs. That's gonna be a real doozy. So.
Would you say that it's gonna be a two flags, one penalty kind of season the rest of the way?
Jacob, after jinxing myself in the first week, I refrain from saying anything else in this about this season. Especially with this week coming up. Let's just get through this week. Let me just get through this week, and then we'll see. But the flags will always be flags. We can never
prevent them. They're always flying in the Cayman Islands.
They're always flying, and the clock's always running. So
there you go. Hey, nice. Dean, man, I appreciate you making it for another segment. Talk to your little brother, Declan, because we miss him. And you're great and all, but –
I miss Declan too.
Dude, what are you doing, Dean? We're so proud of you, man. Keep crushing it. Keep bringing these great stories to us. Don't listen to this cranky dude beside me. You're doing fantastic, brother.
Before I do, thank you very much. Before I leave the show, Ant picked his winner for the COVID season. So who's yours?
Burger King, bro.
Oh,
for silver or gold?
Whichever way I want to have it my way. I said Burger King.
for victory or crow.
One more thing before I go, please. Yeah. You've got to leave it up to the clocks running people. Clocks running faithful. I have faith in you.
Yep,
we're
going
there because this has been a heated debate in two different group chats that I've had.
Clocks running screenshots people, back and forth too.
Do a poll, please, Ant. What's better? Toaster strudel or Pop-Tart?
All right, so hold on. So before you can't just drop that gem and then run off. What's your favorite flavor of toaster strudel?
Strawberry cream cheese.
Okay, so strawberry cream cheese, then you put the ooey gooey protein on top. All right, so then what's your favorite? What's your favorite Pop-Tart?
When I throw them in the garbage can.
Oh, all right. Well, man, it was great to have you on the show. Good to see you, Dean. Appreciate you, brother.
No, if I had to pick a Pop-Tart, it would be strawberry, but I don't like Pop-Tarts. It's toaster strudels or nothing. So.
You're so weird.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, good to see you, Dean. Yeah, we'll see you appreciate you. And that is another episode, another segment of Double D's Doozies, brought to you by Doritos.
Doritos. man. Hey, you know what? I didn't want to say it with Dean, on the show, but because I didn't know what he was going to say. But in my opinion, I feel like the way that Pop-Tarts and toaster strudel goes, I feel like that's like an economic thing because growing up, like my parents never bought toaster strudels. So I feel like Pop-Tarts is the cheap version. So,
have you ever had like dehydrated apples or like dried apples?
No.
Oh my gosh, dude. Get out of your shell. Okay. I was going to use that as a comparison.
Speaking of dehydrated apples, we do have another guest on. Let me bring him right on. What's up, Pat?
That's a good segue. Wow.
Hey, man, what an intro.
I had to do it.
I will give you credit. That is a phenomenal segue. I don't know if dehydrated apple is what I would like to be described as, but I like the segue.
Oh, my gosh.
What's up, Pat? How are you?
No, same old thing. Just working, living, doing my thing.
For sure. We're doing good. I just want to, again, give you credit. I know I messaged you about it, but, man, you are still slinging the rock like crazy.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been getting better now that I've been playing the pro game more recently, more against top competition and bringing back a lot of my plays and stuff and getting more comfortable. But, yeah, I think I can still do it. So, I guess I kind of lost the fire and the hunger for playing against that competition for a while, but my team, a bunch of youngsters, they wanted to play in an A tournament, and surprisingly enough, we went out there and won it, and won pretty convincingly, actually, against a really good team. So, and last weekend we played a really good team with Hoosh, Pablo, Jay High, and then we lost to them in the semis. But they had an extremely good team too. They had Dez from our World Games gold medal team. I mean, they had a really, really phenomenal team. It was fun. It was competitive. We had our chances. We had a couple of calls go, you know, not our way. So that was kind of rough. But actually, I need to send that video to you and see what people think, if that's a flag guard or not, because it wasn't.
And we all know you didn't argue it.
No, I don't argue anything. I never get heated. I'm perfectly calm.
You're calm?
You know, I don't. I never show anger or anything like that. I control my temper to perfection.
Exactly, just like a dehydrated apple,
isn't it? Oh man,
no, that's cool, and I think it's I don't know. It just seemed like those last couple tournaments you guys have had down in Texas have, like, I mean, guys are flying in from all over the country. Like, it just. I don't know. It seems like there's kind of a shift because maybe in recent years, I feel like Texas really hasn't had tournaments like that. Has something changed? Is there a new organization running things, or what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what the new interest is, but yeah, there's a lot more guys traveling from Carolina, from DMV, from Florida, from Louisiana. The tournaments have been insanely competitive here locally. I don't know about other places around the country, but yeah, it's I love it. And, you know, I get to see it. Even if I wasn't going to be playing in it, I'd probably go to the field just to see, you know, a bunch of guys that I coach and a bunch of guys I would hang out with and compete against anyway. But yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know. Maybe the split of a, you know, certain group maybe has fired up a bunch of teams to try and be the number one team now. Because I know that at some point people were looking at YTG and other people as unbeatable or kind of a, you know, a combination of different states that put together for one team. And they're really tough. They really are. But now it seems like it's a little bit more diverse, a little bit more up in the air. You don't know who's going to be winning or how. So, I mean, maybe that's, you know, fired up a bunch of people and energized them to come out and show that they're the best now.
It seems like, too, just looking at it from, like, a director standpoint, it seems like a lot of organizations there are getting along when it comes to, like, trying to put things on, not trying to step on toes and do, you know, they're actually somewhat working together, whether they actually are or not, you know, from an appearance standpoint.
Yeah, I think here locally we have several leagues that actually are friends. They don't compete against each other. They try and work well with each other. They try and, you know, they don't try and step on each other's toes. They try and work together and put on the best they can with everybody without, you know, because if you have two different leagues trying to run a tournament on the same day, you're going to lose 30-40% of your people. Whereas if they're not at the same time, then you can get, you know, 80-90% of the people because, you know, it's just because they're available and they like to play. So it's been pretty nice as far as the different local leagues, you know, pick six, you got FFU, you got Cam Slaughter's NTX league, you got Corey and Bruce doing different tournaments and stuff. You got Dylan doing stuff. So, yeah, we got a lot of activity around here. It's just a matter of, for some reason, a bunch of them came to the tournament last weekend with Webb and Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that probably helped too, right, to have two really, you know, big names putting on a tournament and coming together. Was there a pretty good cash prize as well?
I think so. I bet it was probably at least $1,000 or $2,000 for first, but there was three divisions, so – I imagine the co-ed and the A division probably was at least $1,000 or $2,000 for those divisions.
Yeah. I
think they're doing a $5,000 tournament here pretty soon in the next month or 6 weeks or something like that. So that one will probably bring in a bunch of people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think Jacob brings up a good point because when I was in Southern California, it was, I mean, across the board, the organizations could just not get along. And so even as an official, I kind of had to pick one or the other because they were waiting for a schedule to come out, and then they would schedule at the same time, and they would have tournaments the same weekend, and it was splitting the competition. So it waters things down, and I don't think it benefits anybody.
No. The only way you're going to get better and make whatever area of the country you're from better is by playing the best. That's the only way you can do it. I mean, the first time when I went to a Nationals, actually in Vegas, I went and I thought we were by far the best team in the country, and I went out there and got whooped by MOB from Miami. And then I found out, oh, we're not that good, you know. And it took me another 6 months or a year before I felt like, okay, now we're ready. And we went and competed the next year and held our own much better. But we had to see the best to really realize what the best was. And I think that's one of those things that playing against great competition is the only way you're going to get there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you brought up the fact that there was a period of time where YTG kind of seemed unbeatable, but they had put together a roster from a few different states and things like that. I feel like that did force teams from around the country, whether it's like DNA, they built an all-star team from Kansas, or, you know, a Texas all-star team, or Ronan. Ronan got everybody that was good in Southern California together. And it seems like that's what's finally kind of like, okay, they're not unbeatable. We have to bring the best we got from this state.
Yeah. I think that's what you have to do if you're going to compete against them. You can't have a weak link, because if you have a weak link, they're going to exploit it. They're going to take advantage of you. You got to have five dudes on the field that can hold their own no matter who they're against. And if you don't, then they're going to take advantage of it. So, and it happened actually to us this past weekend. There was a couple of people that we were like, ooh, maybe not ready for this competition just yet. You know, so, yeah. It happens.
But it also takes getting thrown into the fire to figure that out. So
correct. Yeah. You have to see the top guys in those positions before you realize they're either not there yet, or they need, you know, they need a little bit more time, or maybe they're just not gonna be there at all. But either way, you'll find out.
Yeah, so you running this team, you said you got some youngsters, but guys like Fred still running with you for these last couple tournaments or not?
No, there was no blackout guys, no freaks guys on my team. It was all young kids, except we picked up Tyler Davis. So he's not young, but he can play. So that was a good addition. He definitely helped me as far as, you know, making it easy to have a target that's open. But at the same time, maybe I got out of my own game plan by trying to force him the ball when I should have just been doing what I was doing, you know, successfully. So it was a little bit of a plus and a minus when you're not used to having super, super talented guys and you make your thing work, you know, and then you go in there and you get somebody else and you try and force feed them the ball when you don't necessarily have to. And he wasn't a problem at all. He wasn't saying like, hey, give me the ball or anything like that. It was just me being stupid and thinking, oh, I'm just going to throw him the ball because he's just better than everybody. So, yeah.
You feel like he's just like better, like when he steps on the field, like, and you know, I don't know how much in detail you can talk about this, 'cause I know he's still part of the 18 that's got to try out. But when he steps on, like playing with him, do you feel like when he's out there, like he is better than anybody who can cover him? Like, and that's.
I think he does some things better than almost everybody, but I think there's still some things that he can even improve on. And he and I talked about it. Like, I thought he was going to go certain ways. I thought he was going to run around a certain way. And, you know, and a lot of that is, if you're familiar with the person, sometimes that's even more important than how athletic or how talented they are.
Right.
Because if they're where they need to be and you're throwing where that you expect them to be, sometimes that's more important than how talented and athletic you are. But having both, that's when you're in trouble, because if you can do all those things and you're amazing, then it's pretty hard to stop, especially if you have a quarterback that can put the ball where they want to. Good luck, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you brought up that there were a few calls that didn't go your way. You handled it like a gentleman. You didn't explode at all. Are all those organizations down there using USA flag rules just across the board? That's what everyone uses?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's the most universal set of rules. Now, you'll get a different occasional league and things that do things a little different where they mark by flags instead of ball and they do different things like that. But for the most part, yeah, they go by same penalty, you know, things, same bonuses or whatever, you know, depending on if you're getting a first down, automatic first down, you know, things like that are pretty much measured the same way through USA flag. But not all the time. You'll get occasional differences. You're like, what are we doing here? You know, but You know, it's just the way people, I mean, it's their league. They can do what they want. But yeah, for the most part, they do run USA flag across the, you know, across the board pretty much.
Yeah. And speaking of USA flag, I think this is a good time for us to bring in our next guest. Here we go. You might have heard of him. What up, Chuck?
What's up, players? How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
How are you? I think I gave you the worst segue here in the introduction. You can ask Pat about it. But hey, man, I appreciate you.
We can do a good segue. Let's go over those rules, those USA flag rules that we're talking about, and see out of five how many Chuck gets right.
Oh shit.
Oh, that's not my department, man. I'm pretty sure you guys. Whatever. I didn't know this was a witch hunt. I'm going to stay at home.
Oh man, you didn't know you got right on the hot seat right when you came on, huh?
All right, let's see what I got. I'm probably gonna get them all wrong, but whatever. I don't care.
He knows how to hire the people that know the rules, so he's good.
There you go. Before we do that show, though, Chuck, I do want to give you the opportunity. Every time we have a new guest on, I just want to give you a chance to kind of share your origin story and kind of what brought you into flag football and where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up on 10 years, so I apologize for the lights flickering on my computer monitors. I have like six of them, and they're telling me to go get bent right now. But anyway, long story short, we started about 10 years ago. I met Travis on a random phone call, and him and I had a lot of the same ideas and same hopes and desires for flag. So he and I moved, you know, pretty quickly. So like 3 days later, we had a company and a company name. And then, about a week later, we had a bank account, and we're both just waiting for the other person to steal it. We had never met in person. I didn't even know what Travis looked like. I had no idea. And then, we started running it and getting sponsors, and him and I met like 8 months later at USFTL Nationals. I think it was the first year they were in Plant City. And, I mean, there's a photo I have to send you guys of the first time him and I met, and it's just like pure disappointment. Like, I thought he was going to be this handsome dude that was going to just lead the way. And he claims he didn't know I was black, so it was a whole whole deal. But we've been rocking and rolling ever since, man.
Were there like plans or ideas that you had when you met him and you were like, oh, I can't do it with this guy now?
No, we had no plans, no ideas. It was just we literally started from scratch. It was as much of starting from scratch as you possibly could do. So that's literally where we started from scratch. No concept, no nothing, no idea. We just kind of hit the ground running and, you know, fell a lot. You know, fell this week if we even want to. So yeah, we fall a lot. But you know, it's been a great pleasure, huge blessing. You know, we met a lot of good people along the way, and then also you guys. So you know, there's that part. So you know, good people, you degenerates, and then you know everyone else. it's been good, man. Super super blessed. Very very thankful for everything, and you know, just want to keep one foot in front of the other, and not try to go too much faster than we're going right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys are now a world record holder, so that's a pretty big accomplishment, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. It was kind of like the emotional high after, you know, a decade of doing this, and, you know, I'll being totally honest, I was kind of like, all right, what the heck am I supposed to do now? So I'm kind of like, what's next? Because I don't know. I don't think anything gets really cooler than that at that point, being, you know, something the biggest in the world or having a world record. I'm like, literally, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I feel kind of lost, but, you know, I guess we'll figure it out when I'm supposed to. But, yeah, that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah, for sure. So before you joined the conversation, I was talking about Texas flag football. And, you know, Pat was telling us how it's just been a steady decline. Like, it's just downhill. They're just not as good as the rest of the country as they used to be. not my words. They're his, you know. But what do you think? How do you think the landscape of flag football has changed over these 10 years? And how do you, adjust that as the owner?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, like, I mean, honestly, there's some truth to that, too, because, you know, obviously Texas and Florida probably still pound for pound are probably, you know, state one, state two, you know, given, you know, any given terminal, who's going to be the most talented, you know, coming out of that weekend. So, I mean, they're pretty safe. But I'd say the gap between two and three is much closer than it's ever been. You know, 10 years ago, that gap was huge, right? You'd have a random team here and there that was good, right? You'd have a random team from Ohio, a random team from the East Coast somewhere that no one knew about, or a random team out of Arizona, or, you know, some weird place, right, that they were good, but they were the only good team, and they had the whole state's, you know, weight on their back, and they had to go fight Florida and Texas in pretty much every format, you know, with the exception of, obviously, like, the eight-man contact divisions that was East Coast heavy and had their own things. But that gap, in my opinion, has closed pretty significantly. I still say there is somewhat of a gap. A lot of the teams do a lot of intermingling, so they'll go out and pickpocket the best player from another city, and they'll play with the Texas guys. But, you know, places like California, for example, they've kind of caught up in a lot of regards, especially in, like, the women's side. I think they caught up pretty quickly on that front. You know, you have some other places, too, like Arizona and Texas, Arizona and Nevada, that do okay in certain formats and certain teams. Then the East Coast does pretty well, especially in the Northeast. And then you know, randomly have – you know, you're talking like five contact. Obviously, the DMV and down south is going to do decently as well. But, you know, it just, you know, those two states are still probably top one, top two, like I said. But the gap between two and three, I think, is closed quite a bit, especially on the women's side. It used to be really dominant with a lot of teams just from Texas and Florida. Now they're kind of coming from wherever, especially like Canada. Canada did really well at Worlds the last couple of years. And, you know, so I think that's a big testament to how fast the women's side grew as well.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up international teams, and I think they kind of shake the brackets up a little bit, where then, you know, two Texas teams will have to play in the semis, and they knock each other out, and then they end up facing Canada. So, Pat, bringing it back to you, just as far as, like, if we're saying Florida and Texas are 1, 1A, 1B, however you want to do it, where is the next best region?
It depends on the style you're playing. Five contact, like he said, I think it's going to be Northeast or Carolinas. If you're playing on contact, the third best might be California or Carolina. Carolina's DMVs are coming on strong. You got DMV, you got some, I don't know if it's just DMV guys, but you got Tone and some of those guys from Vibe Up starting to learn the five-man non-contact game, and they're getting a lot better quickly. So I'd probably put them 1 and 2 right behind there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Jacob, you have thoughts on that?
I mean, I think you almost can go even further north, you know, up into like New York, New Jersey. Like they're starting to catch on. I think some of the Massachusetts players, they do well, but they kind of hang out in the lower divisions, so they don't really get as noticed as much. But I think they want that, so I wouldn't put them as far up there. But I do agree. I think probably California would probably be number three. Maybe like the DMV area.
Yeah. So, Pat, how do you think, you know, we talked about how you said the organizations in Texas, most of them are using USA flag as their rule book. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's regions that are still kind of, they got all these random rules and things they don't want to change when it shows they travel nationally and they go 0-3 and they're stuck in Tampa for three more days?
I don't know rules, honestly. I will say that you're better off just running those rules, because when it matters, the teams you're going to be playing, you might as well be playing under those rules, because the benefits you're getting from the random rules they're not going to help you when it matters in a game against other teams from around the country when they're used to playing with those exact rules. So, yeah, I think the benefits are not there. You need to weigh and figure out why you're doing that and see if that even matters. And if it doesn't matter, then you need to go with just those rules across the board.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's not that way in other sports. Like, I remember playing soccer when I was a kid, and it was under the umbrella, like, these are the soccer rules for, you know, the entire United States. You can't have an organized game without playing these rules. So it's weird how different flag football is, where you could go from one city to another and they don't even want to agree on the rule book. So it's interesting.
No, for sure. That's a good point.
But so Chuck, I guess we gotta do it. We gotta ask you about some rules, because you know you're here on a podcast for officials. So Pat, what were the five rules you wanted to bring up? Let's just hammer through them.
I was not planning on doing that to Chuck.
And yeah, I was gonna put him on the spot.
Just
he was ready.
I'm not scared.
I tell you that Chuck knows if he runs a post wide open, I'll throw him a complete touchdown. But if Chuck has to do that on the fourth, literally the fourth play of the game,
I'm out.
So yeah, I'm DBs, if you line up in front of Chuck, give your best effort on the first two plays of the game because you're good after that.
He's not after that.
About 7 yards.
After that, don't even you don't pretend I'm there anymore. I'm just go home. I'm still gonna be in the same spot.
All right. Well, you know, on the horizon, we have Vegas coming up. Chuck, can you just give us the rundown of how amazing Vegas is going to be?
I mean, based on what I saw in that weather, I don't know if it's going to be that great. It's going to be so hot. Man, I mean, the weather keeps fluctuating like crazy. Like one week, it looks amazing. And then when we just looked a couple days ago, it's like, dang near 100. I'm like, what is happening? So I'll use amazing loosely for that regard. But, I mean, you know, the competition should be great. We almost got – I think we have over 400 teams playing. Most of them, I think like 380 of them are adults, so we don't have that many youth teams. They're only playing on Sunday. Calvin Johnson and Tyreek will be out on Saturday just to kind of hang out and sign autographs and chill and do all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of cool. It's always a, you know, cool little upgrade to have some of these NFL guys, especially big names like those two. You know, just being at the event, hanging out, it kind of gives it a higher level of cachet, which is cool for everybody. So – yeah, got a lot of, you know, Body Armor and the rest of the gang will be out there giving out, you know, free drinks. I was trying to find a chapstick vendor because that's the one that's,
oh my God.
That's the killer right there, because it's going to fall off in Vegas. So no dice on that. So good luck. But Vegas is going to be good, though, man. It's always a fun time. Definitely expect some forfeits on Saturday morning. Some teams are just not going to make it because they're going to just party way too hard on Friday night. So same thing on Sunday. So yeah, I mean, it's Vegas. So I think, you know, it should be good. You know, I'm really excited to kind of see the teams. I'll be out there Friday and Saturday to kind of just hang out and see everything and, you know, go from there. But yeah, Vegas is always a good one, man. Never have a bad time in Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, go ahead, Pat.
We're getting lucky. It sounds like 95 is miserable. But 118, what was that, two or 3 years ago?
3 years ago, miserable.
I promise you Vegas can be worse. 95, it's hot, but that's a blessing compared to 118. I promise you, 118, you walked outside and you cooked. It was absurd. So,
I don't,
you know, it'll be bad, but not that bad.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. That is top three. Four. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever did in my entire life. Like, what was I thinking? I can't even blame, like, us or me and Travis. It was literally all my idea. So I'm, like, taking the blame by myself. So stupid, man. So dumb.
You would start going on the golf cart. It just felt like somebody opened an oven door and, like, that heat wave, like, it would hit, and it just would not stop.
No, man. And then it was – the crazy part is we were all like, oh, man, I can't wait till the sun goes down. It didn't even matter. It didn't help at all. Like, it was, like, 9 o'clock at night, and it was still the same temperature. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Yeah, well, and I was playing still during that Vegas, so I actually paid to be in that heat for some weird reason. But I had some teammates that, of course, just like you said, they went drinking, you know, Friday night. They went out, they rolled up to the field 6 a.m., still hungover. And within the first game or two, one of those guys is just throwing up on the sideline, everything. I'm like, what'd you eat, man? He's like, I had a gas station pickle before the game. Like, come on, bro.
that's better than the gas station sushi Travis had when we took a road trip. Remember that, Pat?
Right, yes.
Oh. Yeah, middle of nowhere, Texas. This man wants to get gas station sushi. What are you doing?
Sicko sushi. That sounds, oh, God.
It was horrible. That's why he got pulled over in Baton Rouge. He deserved it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, good times.
So, Pat, what are you looking forward to in Vegas? Are you playing in the 35-plus division?
No, I'm directing only. I'm not playing.
Okay.
I'm not take my cleats because I know how that works. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that because, well, just because, you know, respect for Jacob and Chuck and Travis and everybody else. If I just, it's tough for you to do both. You can do it briefly, but you can't do it where, you know, where you're taking up a half a day or something like that. So, no, I'm not going to take my cleats on purpose.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I do notice there are a few Texas teams coming out. It looks like Shrooms, Apex in the women's. So those are going to be some tough teams to beat. Is there a specific format you're looking forward to seeing?
Me? 5-on-5 non-contact, bro.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, Shrooms is in that. It looks like a solid list for the teams that are going to be playing. And like I said, teams from all over. So Vegas is it's just a lot of fun. So I do want to get into some kind of, you know, hot seat questions for both of you guys. Jacob, I'm going to bring you into this as well. we do have a group chat discussion that's already getting brought up. So let's get this one out of the way. Chuck, Pop-Tarts or Toaster Strudel?
Pop-Tarts.
Thank you. Okay. Pat?
Well, they didn't have Toaster Strudels when I was young, so.
Back in the 20s?
A classic for me, but yeah, Toaster Strudel, I don't think it was ever in my freezer when I was a kid, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Same for me. Did they even have frosting on your Pop-Tarts when you had them as a kid, Pat? Or was it just...
We didn't have them strudels in our ice chest. In our
house. I know the voice you're doing. You better stop.
You guys had to go out to the ice box for anything frozen anyway. So, yeah,
you had a milkman back then.
All right, Jacob, you said Pop-Tarts as well, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and now next up, I just want to hear you guys, just off the top of your head, top five Marvel movies. Chuck, what do you got?
Oh, I hate you for this. Top five. All time, right?
Yeah, all time, yeah.
All right. Number one is Avengers Infinity War, number one. Number two, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That's a good one.
Number three, Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
Number four, Iron Man 1. And then number five is the original Avengers, the first Avengers movie. That'll probably be my top five.
Okay. Pat, you got a list for movies?
I actually agree with his list, I think. Captain America, the first one. No, I'm dead serious. I agree with Captain America. The first one would somewhere be in there, probably for me. But the other five he named are dead on. I probably have a different order, though, because I think Infinity War was great, but I have Endgame probably maybe ahead of it. Winter Soldier was really good. Iron Man started the whole thing, so maybe I'd put that at one. But Avengers, the first Avengers was amazing, too, because if you have Endgame and Infinity War, compare it to, it was amazing when I saw it. So, I definitely have all three of those, Winter Soldier and Iron Man probably one. But Captain America, the first one, was pretty good to me, too. So I'll make a list of six and say that flip the order a little.
All right. Pat, is this how you are when you're playing in a league? You take the rules they have and you just add a rule for yourself? Is that what you do?
Benefits me. And then, you know, so I make them rush for further away based on how many years older I am than them. And it gives me a chance to throw the ball.
Jacob, what do you got for top five?
So I agree with Infinity War, Endgame, Iron Man 1. I personally, I'm a Thor guy. So it's that first Thor movie for me. And Ragnarok was really good, too. So, I mean, it's tough to just narrow it down to just five. You know, I mean, I think there was maybe two or three that just weren't, like, really bad.
There's way more than two or three, but Ragnarok might be the funniest one. Ragnarok is hilarious.
Yeah. Ragnarok was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ragnarok has got to be in my top five. Endgame, Winter Soldier for sure. I got to put, and I know maybe people will hate on this, but I got to put Wakanda Forever.
Okay, really?
Yeah, I do. Not
top five.
I have to. It's good. I just feel like they did that good. Character There's a right.
Difference.
Yeah, that was terrible.
You felt good afterwards.
He's doing that. He's saying that because he has a guest on that's a black person. So he's.
I'm not with you on that one, man. I hate that movie.
I know you do. I know you do. Because I remember when awful. It first came out and you were just ragging on that movie.
Oh, so bad. Yeah. I ain't gonna take my black card or not if you can have it, because that one sucks. Okay.
Is there a favorite show that you have, Chuck, of Marvel shows?
Marvel shows? Ugh.
Yeah.
Man, Marvel shows. I wouldn't say I have a favorite. I enjoyed Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I thought that was good. Daredevil, Born Again is good. It'd probably end there for me with those two shows. I didn't like WandaVision or Wanda. I didn't like that one at all. Yeah, that's probably it. The Marvel shows aren't that good to me, honestly. I think they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
What? And did you ever watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watched it and I thought it was awful, so I never watched it again. So, yeah, I'm hard on Marvel, man. They don't get any passes with me. So, yeah, be good or be great or be nothing.
Yeah. Okay. And have you ever gone back and watched everything chronologically?
Yeah, I do it entirely too much still. I literally watched it a couple nights ago, so yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Pat, you have a favorite Marvel show?
No, I don't. I don't care for any of them really. They're okay.
They bring the whole universe together.
Yeah, but a lot of times there's like 15 episodes when there needs to be one. You know. But I liked Loki. Loki was okay.
Loki was good. Yeah, look, I take that back. Loki was really good. Loki was good. Yeah.
Jacob, what are your thoughts?
I mean, so this again, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I like Moon Knight.
Haven't seen it.
Moon Knight was good.
It started and stopped though. It didn't drag on to where it's going to be six seasons. I like that it was just its own thing and it got done quickly.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Moon Knight, man. And I like the character Moon Knight. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and I'll go very unpopular. A show that got canceled kind of too early. I really liked Agent Carter.
Oh wow!
So what is if
guys? I'm sorry.
That's the movie to you or a show? Just disregard his opinion.
I was about to say. I'm sorry, guys.
Let me go worse.
Chuck, would you ever put cream cheese on a Philly cheesesteak?
No. Ugh, that sounds
good. There we go. Thank you.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Yeah.
Hey. Like you put on a bagel?
Yes.
What's happening?
Do you like jalapeno poppers?
They're okay. They're not, you know, put on a Philly worthy. Like, what's wrong with you?
What do you put on a cheesesteak?
Cheese and steak.
Okay. Isn't cream cheese
maybe some mayonnaise if it's already on the bread, but I'm not going crazy. Cream cheese? Like, oh, bro, that's terrible.
Right. It doesn't sound good in all you guys' opinions, but I'm telling you, try it one time. Hell.
There's no way you're going to have a stomachache every time. There's no way.
I mean, but the grease from a cheesesteak is going to give you a stomachache anyway. Like, always.
No, it depends on the grease, but cream cheese, bro, like you're doing bad. I mean, you do way better in person. Yeah. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Fair enough. Chuck, I don't want to hold you up too much. I know you're busy and Vegas is next week. Any final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
No, man, appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, I see Pat on here all the time. I don't know if it's, kind of weird party this is, but, you ever need me, just call me. I don't have any. You guys are my only friends anyway, so this is the only time I get to talk to you. So, yeah, here we go.
Anytime you want to come on, you're more than welcome, bro.
Yeah, I don't have that many friends. You guys are like 40% of them right here on this live stream. So, here we go.
We could talk about anything, and it doesn't even have to be rules, clearly. So,
yeah, it's talking. Like I said, I don't have any friends. You guys are it. So, that sucks for you and sucks for everybody else. So, yeah, this is it.
All right, Chuck. We'll see you in Vegas, man.
All right, man. See you guys. Safe travels. Pat, you suck.
Appreciate it.
All right, Pat. You want to talk? I think there are some rules that the three of us have been cooking around. Do we want to bring any of those up? I have one that I would like to talk with the two of you about.
I would love to discuss some, but I don't have them written down. Do you?
He's got some stuff written down. He's ready to
One thing I want to throw out there, and more just hear your opinion, because I know that like the IFAB is very different how they're talking about this. So there was a video, and I didn't post the original one. It just got added to our Instagram. It's an official from Europe. He does a lot of the IFAB stuff. And so he started to post a lot of videos of IFAB games. So he posted a clip, and Hoosh has his two flags like on his tail.
Yeah.
So the play starts, and his flags are there, and there's a DPI downfield that ends up happening, or defensive illegal contact, whatever they end up.
Post, and then he got tackled and fell in the end zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I ever saw, like, through all the comments, and these are officials from all over the world, you know, they study the IFAB rule book. They're all talking about it. And I don't think that there was definitely like a decision. They were kind of like, this is how it should have been handled from, you know, before the play started. But I guess my question to you is, when a play starts like that, and now we've let that illegal equipment go, how should that play be handled?
My opinion is, if the ref doesn't catch it, if the other players don't catch it, if you don't see something before the play, that play goes. Now, immediately after, we're fixing that or you're getting off the field. Because I guarantee you, Hoosh was not trying – I know Hoosh as a person. He was not trying to take advantage of the rules. He just wasn't thinking about it. But as a rusher, if you see that, you could say, hey, put your flags on your hips, and he would immediately do that for you and be like, my fault. But if you don't catch something before the play, even if a player – there's nothing you can do to fix that after the fact. You have to play that play and fix everything from there.
Yeah, because my understanding, as far as the IFAB rulebook goes, is that if the official had seen that, the offense gets charged a timeout for illegal equipment.
I did not know that, but there's a lot of IFAB stuff that doesn't surprise me. So, yeah, that – it wouldn't shock me, and I'm actually okay with that if that's the way they want to do it, if they see it, though.
Yeah, so it has to be caught. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't blame the player. Well, okay, you can blame the player if it's something that they habitually do, but he doesn't do that. It's not something I don't think he was even attempting to do. It's not something that we even talk about. So it was just a pure accident, and punishing somebody that wasn't going to get the sack anyway because he released it before they got there. It would be kind of tough to penalize a team based on them having a great result. Now you're going to be – were they trying to say it was offsetting penalties because of what he did and the defensive penalty and replay the down?
So basically there was like three scenarios kind of that were talked about. One was that it's a safety.
Oh, that's a bit stiff, but okay.
That's – that's really tough.
So, you can't do that because an IFAB, if they snap the ball over your head and goes out of the back of the end zone – or whatever, they bring it back to the line of scrimmage. So you're going to tell me with him catching it and throwing a touchdown, you're going to penalize him a safety? That's backwards. You can't penalize somebody a safety for that when you don't penalize them a safety when they snap it over their head. I disagree 100% with that.
Yeah, and their reasoning behind it is that even though they didn't catch it to be able to charge a timeout, because he played with illegal equipment, they're going to like cite the unfair tactics. And that penalty in the end zone is a safety.
That's fine.
But let me tell you this. The refs, a lot of times in international play, make you line up and they go by and pull all your flags.
Yeah. Yep.
I can 100% guarantee you that particular game, they did not do that because his flags would not have been there had they done that. So how are you going to penalize a player when you didn't do your job to start the game?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and then the other scenario was, like you said, offsetting, where they said, okay, there was a defensive thing down here. The quarterback with illegal equipment, you know, we're resetting. The other scenario was just saying, hey, as an official, you can't let this slide. You need to stop it before it starts.
Yeah, and if they did the offsetting, honestly, as upset as we would be, or I would have been because I was coaching that game, it is understandable. And you're probably doing the right thing by doing offsetting. That's fine, even though I would disagree with it. It didn't affect the play from the offensive side. He threw it before he got there. But I understand the theory behind it. But if you're going to penalize that, that's really more if me and Jacob or you or all three of us are reffing a game and we don't catch something prior to the game, pockets or a hat backwards or whatever, you know who I'm going to point at? Myself and you two. Because that's something you have to catch as a ref. You're going to penalize a player for doing something that they probably didn't intend to do. So, yeah, that's kind of tough. But I get it. But, no, I'm not penalizing there for something that I missed. For sure.
Yeah, so now to kind of switch gears and go into USA flag rule book. I've had a scenario happen where the opening drive of the game, I see the quarterback has – whatever it is, inverted flags, his belt's too loose, his flags are in the back like that. I see it as the snap is happening. So, you know, that's his free play. Let him go. Now, after that play, let's just say it's, you know, an incomplete pass. So we're still on the 5-yard line. I say to the QB, QB, fix your flags, got to be on your hips, tighten the belt, whatever it is. He looks at me, laughs, shrugs it off, snaps the ball. I throw illegal equipment. Now, he snapped the ball, and he received that ball in the end zone.
If he waves you off, I'm calling a safety, and I'm actually happy about it. I'm like, okay, that you picked the wrong person today to do that with, and I hope every white hat and every ref we bring to Vegas and Tampa and everywhere else does the same thing. Don't do that. Don't disrespect the refs. Don't disrespect the other team and do the wrong thing on purpose, because now you're asking for it. Now you're just disrespecting everybody on that field except for yourself, because you want to be an arrogant bad word.
Say I'm here.
Oh, yeah. no, you should throw that flag and you should smile at them and say, you know what? Continue doing it, and now you're going to be either sitting for 5 minutes or the rest of the game. You know, that's uncalled for, and I wouldn't have it. But, you know, that would also depend on if I'm at the field or I could support my white hat or they do it. And we have some white hats that'll do it. Some of them are even stricter than me and Jacob. Sometimes me and Jacob are even surprised at some of our officials, how strong and how stern they are with their decisions, which I love, by the way.
Yeah,
I think – no matter what you do, be strong in your calls and your decisions and go with it. And if I disagree with it, we'll talk afterwards and I'll understand your point and understand why you're coming across that way. And sometimes, you know, maybe it is better for you to do that. And then sometimes it's better. Maybe if we have a talk, I'm like, hey, maybe we should tone it down a little bit here and we meet in the middle ground. So I agree with both, but in your situation, no, that penalty needs to be thrown and the safety needs to be called. And we're going to flip it 2 points. Other teams ball down on the other end. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully that's enough for them to learn. Right. And then they're not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you how I approach the coin toss. Every single game, every coin toss, I go up to both captains and I say, you know, these are the things I want to go over. One, first and foremost, is this is flag football. So your flags are really important. That's the most important equipment. They need to be accessible. No pockets. The belt needs to be tight. They can't be inverted. You know, all of these things, the belt, you know, all of that. You got to tuck your jersey in. I go over it all. I say, here's your warning right here. If it happens and, you know, you get a play, so be it. But then I'm going to correct it. And if you don't correct it from there, it's illegal equipment. I explain that. Next thing, as I say, here's my unsportsmanlike warning. Anything outside of football, you're going to get flagged for it. It's going to be 15 yards. And that, you know, that's what I go over every single coin toss, to the point where if I see a team three times that day, they're already supporting me to the team that's brand new and saying, yeah, he will throw that illegal equipment flag. Like he did it to us every game. So then I go into even more so, I give them more of a chance. The opening drive for each team, I say to the offense, get your flags right. Flags on your hips, tighten the belt, let's all get set. You know, give them that opportunity to fix things. And then from there, anything that's getting corrected, you know, I'm not stopping the play clock for them. It fix your belt, and if they don't fix it, they disregard me, you know, illegal equipment's coming out. So, you know, and that was the clarification that I wanted to get on that rule, as far as, to me, it's an illegal equipment, so the penalty has happened in the end zone. It should be a safety, was, you know, kind of my reasoning behind it.
Well, especially with your warning. If you hadn't caught it beforehand, I assume we're all on the same page. Whatever we didn't catch beforehand, you can't penalize, so that plays over. But then at that point, fix it or get off the field. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, Jacob, any thoughts, anything you want to add?
I mean, I think you just – consistency. You know, I think the biggest thing – the biggest compliment I can give you, Ant, is no matter who's talking to me about this, you know, no matter if they're arguing, bitching, crying, or praising it, they're consistently telling me the same thing. So if you're going to – how you enforce things and how you handle things on your field, you know, for anybody, it's just consistency is the biggest thing. If you're telling a team at 9 o'clock one thing, at 3:30 in the afternoon when you've done 15 games, you need to be telling them the exact same thing. And enforcing it the same way. As tough as it is, as much fatigue kicks in, consistency is everything.
Yeah.
So that, if I can say anything, that's the biggest thing I want. And, you know, I think Pat's the same way. And, you know, we all, if you're calling fifth down consistently, we're going to say, what the hell are you doing? But at least you're doing it consistently.
Yeah. And I think you'll see guys that will talk and communicate with the teams extremely well. Hey, this is the down, this is the distance, you're in a no-run zone, this is what you're doing, and they tell the team every play. And then you'll get other guys that don't do it, and they're expecting it, you know, because they've gotten used to this ref who talks to them. So sometimes it isn't even the same person. Sometimes you really just want a whole group of officials to be consistent within themselves. Yep. So if this ref's doing – an amazing job, let's try and be consistent with another ref, and they do the same thing, and they talk to them and tell them what they're doing and tell them what down it is and tell them the time left on the clock. You know, as much information as you can get, all those things you can spit out to the players, it will solve you a problem in the long run, I promise you. And in it, you know, so when it comes to consistency, not just one field, but across all fields. So
for sure. And I can see the frustration that happens with players where I can look at the field next to me and I know there's some things that aren't happening there. And then they come over to my field and they're like, what the heck? We were doing it over here, you know? And it's like, okay, now it's like a learning curve. You have to start over. I do appreciate the fact of just how kind of the schedule works for officials, where you do end up seeing a team a couple times. Mm-hmm. And then going into playoffs, I think there's an understanding that gets created between the players and the officials, where the player's like, okay, this is what this official is going to be looking at. This is what they're going to be talking about. And so I think if that happens, just like you said, that consistency, then when it gets into the quarters and the semis and the championship, there's not so much of the frustration over like, what the heck? We haven't had that called on us all day.
Right.
Why is it happening now? You know? And so
I agree.
And you know, ultimately we're all human. We're all, you know, very unique in how we talk to people and how, you know, crews run and everything. So it's never going to be a perfect, you know, perfect system or anything like that. But I do think, you know, Jacob does a good job of having officials work with different, you know, different guys and different crews. It's not always, you know, like, I'm not always working with TJ every single tournament. You know, we work with other officials, and so we kind of get that understanding. We learn from each other. I know when I work with Lance what to expect from him, just like players know what to expect from Lance. And you know, you know, vice versa. Lance knows that I'm going to throw flags that he's going to wave off, and that's just that's how it's going to go.
I mean, that's so, the best thing about it, though, is y'all will talk about it. You'll come together, make a decision, and move on. We're not going to have a 5-minute break while we're doing all this. We're just going to make a decision and move on based on what we talk about and what we agree on, you know. And if we can't agree on it, we're going with 2 for 3.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, we don't have to get into a huge amount of rules. We've been talking for a while, you know, but I do appreciate you sharing your insight. I know that, like, for me, I'm kind of a nerd with the rule book, and I just kind of, like, keep reading it over and over. And I probably like it sometimes. I'm like, but the wording of this sounds really goofy to me, and it's, you know, not making sense. But it's just a matter of, like, trying to, you know, process through it. I do understand that players are not diving into the rule book like I am. So it's a different, you know, different playing field.
Here's a curveball for you. So you're playing IFAF. Quarterback takes a snap. Rusher goes and rushes him. There's no throwback or handoff or anything back there, and he runs around and beats the rusher. Does he have to get rid of the ball once he's crossed the line, or does he have an unlimited amount of time to throw the ball? IFAF.
Ooh, I can't remember if they have the pass clock that stops or not.
They do.
Yeah.
It does stop. Yeah,
you have 7 seconds to get rid of the ball, even if they do rush, if you don't do a handoff or throwback.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the rush doesn't get rid of the clock.
Not if it's 1 for 1. If they do a handoff or throwback.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's a different one.
I mean, there's 7 seconds, so that's
a lifetime.
Most quarterbacks think along the lines of they cross the line. I can do what I need to do now. That's different there. Yeah. And strange. But
yeah, I was gonna say the only organization I knew prior to this was NFL Flag that did that.
Yeah,
they're past clocks no matter what. But that's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how the SoCal. That's how all their leagues are, and they only have 5 seconds. But the 5 second clock doesn't stop even if, and you only get one pitch back. Even if you pitch it, it doesn't get rid of the 5 seconds.
So. Pitching it back doesn't kill the clock, and rushing across the line doesn't kill the clock?
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Well, that's a big subtraction for a mobile quarterback, is if they can beat the rush, they still have to throw it within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. I don't like that. I mean, I'm not mobile, so I don't really care, but that's
I was gonna and say, the, puts guys like me back there.
Yeah, it's those rules are so weird because they do have, like, the rush is 5 yards off the line, but you can block the rush.
Oh, you're talking about tough.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So they have, I mean, also the snap is live. So that's the other thing.
You can, like, hit it with your hand?
You can pick it. No, if the quarterback drops it, they can pick it up.
So it's a fumble.
Yeah, and the rusher and the quarterback are the only players on the field that can go for it.
So, but do you have, like, head on head collisions when they go diving for the ball?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's like a terrible idea. You're gonna have dudes with stitches on their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and rushers dive.
Yeah, I'm not
every
diving.
Time.
Yeah, you're not gonna get them to like, slow down. It's a terrible idea because of the. Diving for the ball without headgear on. If you got a helmet on, it's fine, but you don't have helmets on, that's a bad idea.
You're asking for problems.
So those
rules were, there was a point, and I think I remember having a conversation with Jacob where I was like, I'm officiating this rule book that doesn't apply to anything nationally, and I'm doing it every week, and it's just messing me up when I travel.
Yeah,
because it's just so different. So I mean, that's what Ronan is so used to. And they win a lot of tournaments and leagues out there, but it's taken them a while to kind of get over that hump of actually winning a national tournament. And I think it's because they even though they're older guys, they haven't adjusted to 5 non-contact yet.
Right.
Well, their athleticism's carried them. It gets them pretty deep into the playoffs, and then they get out schemed.
Brendan's pretty smart. Brendan Taylor, extremely smart.
Yeah, on both sides of the ball. Sometimes I think he's a better safety than a quarterback.
Yeah, I found that out at trials. That dude was
– Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, very good at safety.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, cool, Pat. Well, you know, we'll let you go for the night. And we will see you next week. I appreciate you last minute jumping on with us.
No problem. Are you going to Vegas, Ant?
Yep, I'll be there.
Nice. Good. All right. I already know Jacob's going, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
Jacob, when do y'all get there?
Wednesday night.
Okay.
Yeah, Thursday night. Thursday night for me. Okay.
Jacob, I think I get there Wednesday morning sometime. You're getting there Wednesday night, you said?
Yeah, I'm in about 8 o'clock. Yeah, we'll talk. I'll talk to Chun. We'll okay. talk.
All right, cool. All right, good yeah. deal. See you boys soon.
All right, be good, man.
All right, later. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Now, just think about if you know how there's that, like, question. If you could sit down with five people, living or dead, and have a, you know, a dinner together. Okay, let's just think about the fact if the five people that were on this show tonight, if the five of us sat down and have dinner, what would that dinner look like?
Oh, man, we'd be all over the place. Why yeah, me throwing food at each other.
Oh man, three great personalities, and I appreciate each one of them. It's cool for me every time, you know, I get to interact with Chuck, because he's seen every face of me as far as flag football goes, and he's always been a friendly face, you know, for me when I see him at tournaments and everything. Yeah, so, that's cool. So. Cool, man. Anything else you want to say? You excited that illegal equipment in the end zone is a safety, or how do you feel?
Man,
about
I can't. I can't. Well, you know, it's gonna make things interesting, especially in your world.
It's just for me, it's gonna be interesting.
No, man. You know, I'm excited. You know, I had Camel City this past week. We did the 1 day spring thing, and. It was different. It was definitely different than what we've ever done before. Teams got a lot of games in 1 day. We ended up having co-champs. Like I said, it was just an all-around weird day. But it was great to see everybody and get back out on the field, get to our little spot, and get to enjoy it. I definitely enjoyed that. I think the biggest thing for me I always enjoy seeing is watching – how the guys on the East Coast play and how they beat each other up, and then going out to the West Coast. And while it's still fresh on my mind, see how they play and how they kind of beat each other up in contact. So, so I'm looking forward to that.
No, for sure. And I am glad you brought Camel City up. First off, you had some stripes on.
Okay.
How were the players with you? Do they treat you better or worse?
No, they lay into me the second I get on the field. the way the day worked was we had three pool play game slots, and after that we went into a double elimination bracket. With the amount of teams that we have, when we hit that bracket play, we went down to just one field. So I told everybody I'm going to bring three officials out. For pool play, we'll go with two officials on each field, and then we get into bracket play, and we start eliminating teams. I'll have three on there for you. So what I did was I've hopped on the field myself. Jordan and I, it was his birthday. You know, in case the world doesn't realize, Jordan and Ant are about a week apart, you know, add in some years, but, you know, their birthdays are about a week apart, so we have two greats having a birthday within a week of each other. So he told me, he's like, you got to ref me on my birthday. So I got on the field with him and repped a couple games, and we had fun. He yelled at me a lot. It wasn't a great experience because he's yelling, players are yelling. Nah, it was actually fine. It was a good time. We had fun. So
I did notice you guys had a really intimate moment at one point that the photographer captured. You want to share what you guys were talking about in that
probably
moment?
Trying to figure out the bracket. That's all we were. We had the scorecards, so we were having to just figure out, because it was, like I said, it was a weird day. So with a three-game guarantee in bracket play of a double elimination bracket, you had to add – there's a couple extra games that got played that you have to factor in, and trying to figure out who goes where and what goes when and who's supposed to be playing – We had to spend a couple minutes, you know, looking at that. But all in all, you know, Jordan, Joe, and Baker, you know, all three of them, they held it down for me this past weekend. They did great, as usual. No place like it. I joke and tell everybody all the time, if you ever want to ref and you want to ref some of the best and be in one of the most, not necessarily hostile environments, but definitely earn your stripes and get thick skin, come to Camel City. And
come to Mamba City.
Yeah, well, you know, they were co-champs, so. but yeah, come to Camel City and we'll get you right. And, you know, make sure you either walk away, you know, feeling better about yourself and as an official, or figure out this isn't for you.
What about what the critics are saying that co-champs is a cop-out?
They weren't there, so they can't have an opinion. I think it's pretty simple.
Yeah. How do you feel about co-champs?
I was fine. I mean, like I said, it was a weird day.
Well, yeah, because it makes your day shorter.
I don't care about that. I've already allotted the time to be out there for the day. It didn't matter to me. If anything, we were running ahead. Jordan and Joe and Baker, they were keeping games rolling. They were, you know, when game ends, they'd get the next game going right immediately. So, you know, we allow 35 minutes for a game, really probably only need between 28 and 30, and they were on it. And since the teams were already there, we were able just to keep rolling. So, you know, when they say co-champs and when they make that decision, that's a business decision. You know, those teams are playing this weekend in another tournament. So I understand from a longevity standpoint, save your legs. You know, most of that day, I want to say the Bulls probably, so we guaranteed everybody five. I think Mamba's, because they were the one seed and in the winner's bracket, I think they only ended up playing four. But, you know, to walk away with as much money as they did for four games, that's not a bad gig. The Bulls, I think they played – they played six games. So they were – that was a full day for them too. So I get it, you know yeah. make the decision. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying, especially if you're not there. If you're not willing to sign up yourself and you're not willing to put the money down, you can't have an opinion. You can't say things is weak when you're not out there. It's more weak to not be there.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good point. I like that response. It took a while to get it out of you. Almost as long as it took me to say Hoagie when we were talking to Rock, you know, it just took a while. So, anyway, that being said, I do want to just, you brought up your region. I know that I've lived all over the country at this point. I do want to bring up two upsets that happened this past weekend. In Colorado, in the PF3 and eight man, CTS beat the two-time defending champs. It's the regular season, but they beat the two-time defending champs, the Bulls. And pretty easily, they beat them by a couple touchdowns. They had control of the game the whole time. That is setting up for a big championship game at the end of the season between CTS and the Bulls. There's three or four players that are on CTS that were former Bulls players. They do not want to let them get a three-peat. It would be the first three-peat in history. So that was an upset. Maybe some think it was not. I don't know. The second one. In Southern California, the Fours League, it's called FFC. Ray and Frankie, great guys. They have changed the rules that were in place for like 30 years. It's USA flag rules. And the Savages upset the Relics. And when I say the Relics, their quarterback is like, he's close to 60 years old.
Yeah.
But they win every season. So the Savages, this is like a monumental upset that the Savages pulled off a win. So shout out to those guys as well. I know we'll be seeing some of those guys in Vegas because, you know, this is a West Coast opportunity to show how great they are when there's no East Coast teams around. I got to say this, man, the elephant in the room. We hyped it up. We were supposed to have DK. He was going to clear the air about new dynasty and all of that that's going on. And he's not here. Hey, and man, so
family first, you know, he had some family stuff pop up. Family first, no worries. You know, we got Chuck and Pat, who are two great guests. Dean came on, knocked out a doozy. I think Dean's finally getting in his full stride with knocking out these doozies. He's a blast. But no, this was a great episode.
Absolutely. And I gotta give a shout out to Paradise Officiating. We're gonna have a couple of those guys in Vegas.
Can't wait to see Juan and Allen next week.
There we go. And then shout out to Tacky Bar. Kevin, man, he is he's killing it. I love his videos. I think he's becoming a content creator too.
Well, you know, Tacky Bar, you know, as one of our great sponsors, you know, they're doing big things, you know.
Yeah. He did flag guard in the video that I posted though. So, well,
I mean, he's probably going to pull our sponsorship now, so I'm glad you really thought that. Thanks. Kevin, we're sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive the person who handles all that. Don't hold that against us. Clock's still running, though.
Yeah, yes, sir. And I'll just go ahead and say it, man. We are everywhere. We are on Instagram. We're right here on YouTube. That is the best way to see this show. I know, you know, you got to sit down, you watch it, blah, 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 all this. But it's worth watching, man. Every week we have new guests. We're coming from the officials' perspective, so we have officials on. But we got players and directors and all of that. So check us out. Watch a YouTube episode. At this point, like we're at like 70 or something. So there's plenty of content to watch. When you're on your plane onto Vegas or driving to Vegas, however you're getting there. We're also, if you just want to listen to us, everywhere podcasts are available. Outside of that, we are on every social media platform. We are live on Twitch every Thursday night for question and answers, but nobody's jumped on yet. So, you know, we haven't been able to really, like, take part in the live streaming that, you know, everybody wants to do. But this is where we like to be, right here on YouTube. So we appreciate our guests and everyone that joins and watches. Please subscribe. Please like, follow Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We got a page and I don't know, whatever Facebook needs from us. We have Twitter, X as it's now called. I don't know. And anything else?
It's fantastic. Continue, sorry.
Exactly. I'm starting to think about, Threads, we're on Threads. We're everywhere, man. And we have merch. So we've been trying to do some fun things to kind of give away merch. We've been having contests and, you know, but hey, we are both going to be in Vegas. So who knows? Maybe we'll give away a little merch. But you know, hit us up, order some merch, support our brand, Clock's Running. You can put Jordan's ugly mug. Nope. There we go. Jordan's ugly mug on a big shirt or just a chill ref. And the more merch we sell, the more options we'll have for merchandise. So we appreciate everyone that's helped us, you know, just have some fun every week here on Clock's Running. So. Jacob, I'll see you in Vegas, man.
See you in Vegas, man. Hey, and so just everybody, this is the first quarter complete of Clock's Running. First quarter of the year.
What?
What do you mean, what? We've done 10 episodes, bro.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay.
I didn't. Hey, man, shout out to Dula for always sharing our Instagram clips. He's the king, man. I think that Coop and Dula are the hardest working guys in flag football. What do you think about that?
I agree with that.
They're every time I talk to either one of them, they're like, I got this going on and I'm doing this and I got to go pick up this thing. I'm selling fragrance and I got Chick-fil-A. I'm going to go pick. I don't know. All right, man. Well, we'll see if New Dynasty is still a contact team here next week. I'm excited to see 5 contact. That looks like an awesome division.
Should be a good and, time.
And the Bears, there's other teams from Colorado coming. We'll see if the Bears. Do you think that's why they named their team that?
Duh. No one just went, huh, let's just go with the Bears. And it not be the Bears.
I know, but that was like in the 80s, wasn't it?
Okay,
that
bro. Chris Farley is historic.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay. About to get me spooled up.
Spooled up so that I can knit some. What's spooled up, bro?
Wrap this up. Let's go.
I just can't even. I've been trying for 5 minutes and you keep talking crazy.
What do you mean talking crazy?
I was literally like, hey, I'll see you in Vegas. And you're like, oh, see you in Vegas. By the way. All right. Have a good night.
See ya. Be good, everybody.